gonna lift this turn in the lines of mine and yours. And you don't want to push your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 38. We have to move. Ezula packed with grim efficiency, mind racing down a dozen different paths to rebuild her plans from the impossible wreck Zuko had made of things. We have to move now. Ezula, what's wrong? Across their palace room, Tylee stopped fussing over a pair of Kyoshi warrior outfits, finally satisfied with the way she laid them on top of each other. Smiling, she rolled them up as neatly as a backflip. You're okay, and I'm okay, and the city's safe. I don't have a body. Ezula cut her off, eyed the roll of dark and lighter green. Why are you taking Mai's uniform? Well, she might want it if we run into her again, Tylee said honestly. There's room in the tank, right? She frowned a little. And you can't have a body if Zuko's still alive. It's not his body I'm worried about, Ezula said grimly. Though yes, that made her angry. So unbelievably angry. You're supposed to be dead, Zuzu. You're supposed to be dead. I tricked you into killing yourself. I'm not supposed to fail. And she couldn't fail. She couldn't. Her jaw was clenched and her heart was beating fast, and the pit inside her was yawning and dark and full of screams. She had to have the Fire Lord's approval. She had to. She'd claw her way over bodies of the dead and dying to crawl ahead of that gnawing hole eating her alive. Quiet. Quiet inside her mind, just outside panic's reach. I don't understand. She'd failed. Failed the Fire Lord. Failed her father. The pit should be coming for her. She should be screaming. Better yet, making someone else scream. It was the only way to stave off the gaping collapse. The pit in her heart where everything froze and shattered. But it was so quiet inside. Ezula heard a thump and realized her hand was empty of whatever she'd just been packing. And Tylee was in front of her, gray eyes wide and worried, easing her back to sit on a bed. What's wrong? What did you do to me? Ezula whispered. What did that water witch do? Tylee gulped. She said she'd heal you because that's what Zuko would have wanted. Zuko loves you. A lie. It had to be a lie. There was the pit, aching in her soul. She could feel it. It didn't hurt. Ached, yes, like a training scar, not yet tended. But the screams were just whispers, tainting a quiet wind. The cold was just cold. I promised I'd protect you. Her brother's voice, wrapped around Amaya's touch until she couldn't tell them apart, warming her, like turning the corner in knife-sharp winter peaks to find a fire laid in waiting. The storm still howled inside her. She could feel it. But Amaya had built a bulwark against the pit, a refuge, firm ground that would not crumble, even though she could feel the emptiness trying to devour her still. Only a fool turned down shelter, even from her enemies. And it was so quiet. I failed, Father. I failed the Fire Lord. But I'm still here. Ezula breathed, tasting the air as the impossible became real. I'm still here, and as long as I still breathe, I defend our nation. And she would. She would. And the first step in that was, we have to get you out of here. Ezula said abruptly. I doubt anyone was close enough to see much of the fight. Still, if word gets back to my father, you're an airbender. I think he knows. Tylee gave her a brave smile. I remembered a few things after the train. Things? Azula repeated warily. Just some things that might come in handy, Tylee shrugged. Don't worry so much. I won't get executed if I don't do anything obvious. So I won't. A cheeky grin. And you're always good at explaining things. I'll be fine. Trust from an airbender. Somehow the irony wasn't nearly as funny as it should have been. So Father knows, Azula murmured. And that called for long and careful thought. Do you really think Zuko cares what happens to me? Of course he does, the acrobat nodded. You're the heir. If the Fire Nation lost you, well, it'd be just awful. The classic answer. The correct one. Yet, when it came to Zuko, the classic answer seemed entirely wrong. Zuko loves you. Everyone she knew used love as a tool, a means of manipulation. Even Zuko, mentioning Ursa. But then, she could actually respect him for that. What soldier worth the name didn't try to shake his opponent's nerve? Though, Agent Chirong's tactics, that man needed a lesson. Never taunt a dragon. You are flammable. Still, when pushed to the limit, Zuko could use even love against her. But he was far more likely to use it as a tool against himself. That fool's quest for Father. And now? And now what? If Zuko wanted her as heir, weakening her hold on Ba Sing Se with that explosive flight was entirely counterproductive. And yes, Zuko was capable of screwing up by the numbers. But if he'd been part of Iroh's plan, the old man should have calculated a way to rein in the worst of it. Not that Iroh was likely to want her as heir, but idiotic as Zuko was in regard to the rest of their happy little family, he had no trouble seeing Uncle for what he was. Smart, but lazy and broken by Lu Ten's death from the truth of the Fire Nation's glory. Zuko knew, better than anyone else, Iroh did not want her as crown princess. If he were wrapped up in Iroh's plans, and he did mean her well, he'd do his best to wreck anything that meant to harm her. Which left one of two options. Either that crazy battle had been Zuko's attempt to mangle one of Iroh's plans for just that purpose, or the damage to the Fire Nation status as irreversible overlords was completely secondary. Which would mean he did all that to get the refugees and traitors out of Ba Sing Se, Azula said, half to herself. Mentally, she went back over the report Master Sergeant Yakume had proffered to her Dai Li of everything the loyalists had seen and heard before G had gleefully dropped them off the ship. She could ignore the bit about ice. There'd been a spirit involved, and everyone knew how perverse they were. But there were bits of gold among the dross. The traitors were all close to the waterbender. Even if Uncle does seem impressed with her, ugh, it doesn't make... Words died in her throat. Azula suppressed a very ignoble desire to eep. He wouldn't. He couldn't. But this was Iroh, who had a very un-Fire Nation interest in the so-called balance of the elements, who was still younger than Azulon had been when Ozai was born. And all the information she had on Amaya and Mushi definitely suggested... Ew! Yet it fit, curse the man. He was manipulative. And Zuko wanted to protect her and the Fire Nation. And both of them thought the fate of her as heir would be one of the most dangerous things that could happen to the Empire, short of no heir at all. But if there were another heir, if Iroh's line was alive again... Are you okay? Tylee asked in a small voice. You don't look so good. Azula tried to speak, swallowed and tried again. My uncle's sense of humor, she got through gritted teeth, deserves to be boiled and shot through the heart and boiled again in lava. Yikes. Tylee blinked. What was the joke? It's complicated. And yet so simple. Right in front of her nose. Transport, people of all walks of life, now personally indebted to Iroh for their safety. Colony supplies. And, it seemed, the Earth King's own agreement behind her Dailee's loyalty. Meaning, he expected to gain something considerable out of the whole mess. Fracture the Fire Nation in a civil war? Agni, what couldn't the Earth King get out of that? I have to do something. Stop, Azula told herself forcefully. Think. None of her tutors had ever covered the possibility of a civil war. It just wouldn't happen. But it's going to, Azula realized. It fits. Uncle hates what we are, hates the Empire. He'll destroy it. And Zuko, that idiot. No, not an idiot. Not if he'd seen this coming first. Though why he was going along with Uncle? Zuko didn't want to see their own people destroyed. Spirits, he'd even gone out of his way to save traitors. Her hand clenched on the sheets as Azula fit the pieces together. Assume the Avatar is alive. Assume he and his little band are going to follow some form of the Water Brat's plan and attack on the Eclipse, with an Avatar's power behind them. Assume they might, just might, succeed. Which was not something she wanted to think about, ever. Leaving aside the indignity of being threatened by barbarians, she knew enough of what the Fire Nation had done to the rest of the world to guess what earth and water would do to them. Hunted, hounded, obliterated. Though, not all. If the government crumbled, the domains would be forced to fall back on their own resources. Most of the nation would be lost, yes. But Byakko would break the teeth of any force that tried to land. And if the Avatar tried to take them... Azula smiled, recalling what she'd read in crypts under the palace. Avatar Uroku had faced a volcano, and that had been a nice, tame one compared to the White Tiger. So, the odds were that something of the Fire Nation would endure, at least long enough for whatever plan Iroh had to get off the ground. A colony, with the Earth King's permission. Azula nodded to herself, recalling history. And no Avatar crosses the Earth King lightly. It could work. It could also cause a civil war, if Iroh was bent on reestablishing his line. But if the Avatar had gotten that far, a civil war would be the least of their worries. It could even be an advantage, Azula murmured, mind racing. The Airbender's such a naive little boy. He wants to believe not everyone's guilty, that someone can be saved. And the longer Avatar Aang hesitated, the more time they could buy. And with time and assassins, Azula smirked. Then all we'd have to do is make sure we have all the Southern Waterbenders in our custody, so we can raise their children and the next Avatar. Not that she had any intention of letting matters get that far out of hand. She was the Fire Princess. But leave it to a bender with no luck at all to plan for the worst. No. That was silly. Zuko couldn't have planned this. Azula tamped down a flare of contempt with iron control. It doesn't matter whose plan it is. It'll make the Avatar hesitate, and we might need that. She knew, as most of the Fire Nation did not, exactly how much damage the Avatar had done at the North Pole. G hadn't been promoted to captain, even of a mere supply ship, because he deserved the rank. No, there simply weren't enough experienced naval officers left to breach one for potential rebellious sentiment. Not when G had never actually done anything. Not until now. Her nation was still a force to be reckoned with. Still the finest navy, army, and soldiers in the world. But there were far, far fewer of them now. We have to win. We have to. Chase the Avatar? Ha! This isn't about honor anymore. This is about survival. I have to assume those men aren't lying. That the Avatar is alive. Given that, chasing after Zuko to deal with him, no matter how much he deserved it, was it really the best plan? No matter how much she'd earned it? No, Azula decided, bitter as gall. No, it isn't. But leaving was a good plan, if she wanted to be sure Ty Lee was safe. All it would take would be one overzealous spy reporting back to the Fire Lord, and, well, Fire Lord Ozai might know Ty Lee's people were of air, but knowing and being forced to admit it were two lethally different things. Ty Lee's too valuable to lose. Our forces are weakened enough already, and I want her family. I am the heir. The Onmitsu should answer to me. So she was leaving, and leaving fast, though it wouldn't do to look as if she'd been goaded into a panicked flight. Or would it? Tylee's eyes went wide. Oh, you have an idea. Azula chuckled, amused by the sparkle in gray eyes. Summon Agent Chan, would you? One packed chest later, the Tylee was bowing before her. Princess, how may we serve? I need you to select an escort for me. Azula let sincerity ring through her voice. Not so many that it weakens your forces, but if I am to present Bossing Se's case for a light hand to the Fire Lord, you know how many arrogant generals the Wall has thwarted. I intend to make it very clear to them that you are part of our empire and will be respected accordingly.
You mean to leave us?
Agni, the man actually looked stricken. Only for a while, Azula said firmly. Really, it wouldn't be efficient to rule the whole world from the capital's caldera. Why not make a second bastion here? The Daili were so refreshingly bloodthirsty. And we'll need trustworthy men for all those new widows back home. Yes, that would work very nicely. Honestly, Agent Chan, I find the reports of the incident in the audience chamber disturbing, Azula said smoothly. If the information is correct, that spirit should not have appeared while the city's true overlord was in residence. And that overlord is me. She bent her head, just the slightest touch of noble humility. The answer is clear. My brother's treachery must be formally recognized. And I must be confirmed as crown princess by my father's decree, before our ancestors and Agni's eternal flame. Then your spirits will be pacified, and Bossing Se will flourish. Which should give me enough time to drag fire sages here to catch that thing and fry it to ashes.
An escort, Chan inclined his head. It will be difficult to find enough capable of defeating Agent Shirong.
Pursuing Agent Shirong, or my brother, brings no advantage to any of us at this time.
Under the shade of the green hat, one brow inched up.
My brother is many things, but he's never been persuasive, Azula said dryly. If Agent Shirong is following him, given what I know about the Dai Li, he must genuinely believe that stunt of Zuko's was meant to help your people.
She rolled her eyes slightly.
Though if Zuko meant to help, we could have worked out something far more subtle. Well, it's done. And honestly, he's made all our lives easier.
She waved her hand gracefully, as if offering the city.
Any would-be troublemakers will be easy to spot. They'll be talking about nothing else.
They already are, the agent murmured, a slight smile shadowing his own face before fading back to sober attention. I would never mean to offend, Princess, but you do want him dead. Unspoken, she could hear. Aren't you going to try to kill him now, after he humiliated you? Azula drew a controlled breath, quelling the urge to fry the agent on the spot. He hadn't actually said it. Yet.
That was a matter of succession, Azula said, aware of Tylee's hopeful gaze. Before, he was just a fugitive with a price on his head. Now he is a traitor, by his own words, and I am the rightful heir, which I believe your spirits will understand once the Fire Lord formally acknowledges me. She shrugged. If the world chooses to see mercy as weakness, that's too bad for the world, isn't it?
All true. She didn't need to kill Zuko. Not yet. Iroh was another matter, one she didn't intend to bring up now, with Ty Lee all but cartwheeling for joy, barely waiting for Agent John to leave before she hugged Azula hard enough to bruise.
I'm so glad, Ty Lee pulled back, eyes bright with unshed tears. Even if you don't want to be like him, family shouldn't be destroying each other.
What is clan if its members can't rely on that? Azula smiled back. How is your family, by the way? I believe I'd like to send them a letter.
Use the eclipse, will you, water boy? Use our power and pride against us in that black horror when we cannot bend. We'll see about that. And once the Avatar was dealt with, we won't need to suffer traitors anymore. Not even the children.
Cousin Lee!
You know, Zuko thought, prying Jean High away from the sorest spots. I'm not really sure I like kids. Kuzan had loved them, but then Kuzan hadn't had a younger sister bent on doing him grievous bodily harm with malice aforethought, afterthought, and any other time she had available. Much less every other kid in reach either looking the other way or cheering her on. Tended to sour you on the whole, oh, little kid, cute, deal.
He didn't do it on purpose, I think. Sore, Zuko gritted out, grateful Mei Shang was there to pull her son off. Even more grateful that Lim and Dayu hadn't jumped in, taking their cue from Huo Jin's slight frown and Luli's headshake. Master Amaya says I have to take it easy.
Oh, Jin Hai frowned, almost as shadowed as this lamp-lit corner of the hold. Sailors and civilians had done their best to partition space up, with supplies, for families to have a little privacy. But it was far more cramped than the cave had been. Though even crammed together, the Wens and Huojin's family seemed to be making the best of it. Shadows flickered, deepening Jin Hai's young scowl.
When Amaya fixes you, you're supposed to get better.
He's trying, Huojin said wryly. Some things just take longer.
His smile faded.
You had us worried.
I had me worried, Zuko muttered.
It worked. He looked over the mingled group. Shurong's not here. I need to talk to him. Mai wasn't here either. Though that was understandable. Apparently Private Fushi, of Lieutenant Teruko's squad, had offered to share her quarters so the Wens wouldn't need to encourage any impropriety until everyone was sure if Min and Mai were to have an understanding. Or not. And one of Fushi's squadmates was supposed to be very good with knives. Zuko could only imagine the kind of shop talk going on. I wonder if Min does.
He hoped so, and that they both took things very slowly. Maybe it was selfish, but Mai had been a friend years ago, and he had enough problems thinking about Uncle and Amaya in the same cabin
without wishing he could throw his brain in a laundry tub. First things first. Zuko tried for a smile. How are you holding up?
It's crowded, Gia spoke up. Everyone's been nice, which is strange. Well, I guess it's not strange because they're your firebenders, but...
She shifted her shoulders, obviously unwilling to be too impolite.
You used to live on this ship?
Not this one. The Wani. She was smaller. A lot smaller, Zuko answered. But there were only about 30 of us on board, so... Oh, well, no sugarcoating it. Ships are always crowded. We are going to make as much speed as we can, and we'll put in to shore sometimes if it's safe. But it's going to be a few weeks before we can stay on solid ground.
If we can.
Zuko drew a breath, then glanced at Tinkcha. Professor, Captain G says you're helping us keep an eye on all the earthbenders. I don't want anyone getting hurt. He braced himself and looked mean in the eye. Are you okay? Being shut away from your element, it's...
A really awful way to die, Mean managed, looking right back.
Your sister, she's... He spread his hands, unable to voice the horror. She's a dark dragon, Zuko acknowledged. They happen sometimes. People who just aren't... He winced. I don't know if this helps. Probably not. But it wasn't anything you did, Mean. You were just there. She's like that. With anyone she thinks she can use.
Use up, burn up, toss aside like gray ash.
And she's our cousin. Mean looked ill.
Of course, that might just be seasickness.
She is, Zuko nodded. On Roku's side of the family. The human side. His smile was wry. He didn't try to soften it. The crazy comes from Makoto, and she's not perched in your family tree.
And that was a whole new swarm of flutter hornets loose in his stomach. Oh, Agni, what does Shidan think of me? He agreed to let Ursa go. He knew the risks if we didn't.
Shidan's own grandchildren had the blood of the darkest dragons in their veins. No wonder he'd never tried to see them.
No. No, you know he's not like that.
He'd known Shidan then. It'd been 18 years. Who knew what had changed? Huojin gave him a pointed look. Are you okay? I'm tired, Zuko admitted. My best friend, Kuzan's best friend, might think I'm a monster. And Uncle, who knows what he thinks I am? I should never have remembered. It's just not right.
He never should have remembered more than hints, shadows of, this is familiar.
Granted, he didn't know the specifics of Agni's offer. What mortal soul could remember the land of the dead? But he was pretty sure there had been a mention of deadly danger, and a promise of weapons left ready to hand. If, and only if, he had need of them. I was dead again, in the spirit world again, and Yue put her claim on me. Which had probably been the utter, absolute last straw. Agni might want the Fire Lord's hold broken more than anyone, but leaving Azula as heir? Zuko hit a wince, picturing a dragon of pure fire, coiled on himself in endless knots, biting his own tail to keep from setting every volcano ablaze with sheer unholy rage. Which would be just what Ko wanted. Tired didn't even begin to cover it. Terrified came closer. But inflicting his own near panic on a ship full of terrified civilians would be a bad idea. You're in command. Act like it. Meaning, deep breath, look them straight in the eye, and keep them focused on what they could do. Is there anything people really need? I hope the privacy screens are enough. I know ship scrubs aren't as polite as a bathhouse. Suyin gave a kind of strangled laugh.
That's kind of... Yeah, you grew up doing this?
No, Zuko shrugged. We don't bring children on warships, though fishing fleets sometimes have whole families aboard. He glanced at the adults. Is there anything else we can do? Which unleashed a slow flood of questions, comments, and startled observations, just as he'd hoped. And at the end of it, he didn't have to pretend to be getting too tired to talk. Though there was one thing he wasn't about to leave unsaid. You and your parents should talk to Uncle and Captain G about your training. For a while, Zuko told Jean High seriously. Looked up at Tincha. I know he looks stern, but Captain G's a father too. We were sparring partners until Admiral Zhao commandeered my crew and blew up the Wani. Silence, full of staring eyes. What did I say this time? Oh. Captain G intends to stay under my authority, and we are going to steer clear of admirals. Zuko shrugged. We're not going to lose another crew to someone else's ship. More silence, broken by Huojin's groan as he buried his face in his hands, and Mei Sheng's rueful chuckle. People don't blow up noble residences in the Earth Kingdom, my lord, she informed him. Attack them, yes, that's why all nobles have guards, but to destroy sheltering walls, it's not done. Oh. Not that Zuko had thought of the Wani as sheltering, after 3 years trapped on board. Still, it had hurt to see her broken. But a ship is just a ship. Walls are just walls. You use them to protect your people, and if they can't do that, you leave them behind. Let your enemy waste his time and resources taking them. Use that time to find a way to strike his heart. So many differences. So much that looked like common ground and wasn't. Spirits, can we make this work? Am I crazy for even trying? Kuzan wouldn't have tried this. He was sure of it. But then, Kuzan had been sane. Kuzan thought he had more time. I don't. There was a subtle exchange of glances between the adults, and suddenly Huojin was cutting through the crowd to escort him out the door. Let's get you home before the Marines come calling. Up a few ladders and out into open air, and Huojin gave him a sober look. All right, what don't you want the kids to know? You think I'd leave my own people in the dark? Zuko tried not to snarl. You know what we're up against. You know we're all in danger. If you think I'd hide that I'd lie... Calm down, Huojin shook his head. Zuko, talk to me. Why? Half step back, balanced stance, breathe. We've already covered the risks. You think the only thing we're worried about is if we get hurt? Huojin bit back an obvious curse. Damn it, what's wrong? I disrespected an ancestor spirit. I've got who knows how many other spirits gunning for me. And if Ko figures out we know what he's up to, he'll throw his power into the scales. And we will figure it out. As long as I didn't know who I was, he had no way to know. But now I do. That could doom us all. I shouldn't be here. I'm risking everyone. But if there was one thing his family had taught him, it was the value of silence. You... Fuming, Huojin gave him a narrow, angry glare. Bit back whatever he'd meant to say, suddenly sober. Zuko, just stay right here, okay? I need... Damn it, there's never a Dai Li when you need one. Where the heck is he? Mute, Zuko gestured towards the stern of the ship. Where else would a firebender in training be? Remember, Captain G instructed the agent, the wind of Suzuran's passage ruffling short gray hair. Firebending comes from the breath, not the muscle. There's no need to knock a wall down if you can burn through it. He paused. No offense.
None taken, Shirong said wryly. Dai Li knock walls down if we have to. You saw the wall at Ba Sing Se. But we're not army benders. We're trying to work on a smaller scale.
He breathed out, cupping flame in his palm, and watched the captain's expression, trying to gauge a man who'd known Zuko long before he had.
You're surprised.
You're an earthbender, G pointed out. You're not?
Continually, Shirong admitted. It shouldn't make this much sense. I've studied your people for years, certainly, but this?
He breathed out gently, snuffing the flame.
Still, you are surprised.
Who wouldn't be? G studied him right back. You haven't had much time for instruction, and while General Iroh may be a good teacher, we're both only human.
Mostly, Shirong thought,
recalling the details he'd managed to pry out of Taruko the past day. Dragons! You believe every firebender has the blood of dragons!
Which, oddly enough, made him feel a bit better about how utterly bizarre the Fire Nation sometimes seemed.
Violent and ruthless and bound by iron codes of honor, anyone else would just laugh off. And yet, tight-knit and protective as a pygmy puma with kittens. The good ones, anyway.
They believe they're different from the rest of the world, and they're right.
A belief Sozin must have found all too easy to twist over time, Shirong realized. They weren't better than anyone else, but different? Absolutely. Of course, it helped that he actually liked pygmy pumas. Vicious habits and all. But in some things, they weren't as different as they liked to think.
It's not General Iroh's teaching you were worried about, was it?
Shirong asked. G cleared his throat.
No.
Aha!
He's really that bad?
Shirong raised a curious brow. G gave him a dark frown, then reluctantly sighed. He could use more tactical training, but Prince Zuko is good enough to be in my Marines, and that healing fire is an incredible asset. It's even settled Lieutenant Sado down, and I was beginning to wonder if anything would. Well, he shrugged. General Iroh's had the prince for 3 years, and I could still take him in a sparring match. Well, it's not what you would expect from that bloodline.
I see,
Shirong murmured, and was afraid he did. It was never enough to be just good, was it? You had to be phenomenal. Though we haven't really had a chance for a bout since he managed to free Suzuran. G shook himself. I know the theory behind fighting waterbenders, but I haven't been able to bring myself to apply it. Even if he weren't on the casualty list, he's the Fire Lord's son. Water in his hands is just wrong. G regarded him narrowly. You don't think so?
I met him as Amaya's apprentice, Shirong stated. I knew when I saw him he might be a war child. I didn't realize he was Fire Nation until much later, much less a firebender. As for who he was,
the agent chuckled.
We're lucky we were running for our lives at the time, or I might have done something stupid.
Amaya's apprentice, G frowned. I had the impression Dai Li weren't easily fooled.
He worked very hard.
Shirong half closed his eyes for a moment, sorting the difference and feel between the heat of metal under earth-clad feet and the ship's faint, almost unreachable touch of earth. Surrounded by water, and I'm perfectly sane. How very odd.
And he's creative.
Creative. One word that held years of implications. Shirong gave him a sharp look. G covered a cough. Well, he's always been inventive when it comes to getting past security. Zhao found that out the hard way.
But Azula's the master, Shirong mused. I've seen them fight. If he could bring himself to kill her, she would be dead. He's good, Captain.
He smiled wryly.
He's just not good at this style.
The way G's face settled into polite neutrality was painful to watch. You've seen him train, and you don't believe me, Shurong judged. But you're not about to start an argument, because you're certain that as soon as Zuko heals enough to be sparring again, I can judge for myself. I think you're going to be very surprised. And there really was no point in arguing, not until Zuko could surprise him properly. Though, if this was the impression the young man had left on his crew, Shurong couldn't grasp quite why G had chosen to risk his ship and life following the prince. Then again, perhaps what he'd followed was Zuko's plan, not his bending. Bending skill and strategic genius didn't always go hand in hand. Just look at Ba Sing Se's generals. Green wove around knots of red and gray, and Shurong straightened.
Huojin, what's wrong?
I asked Zuko to stay put, Huojin gestured forward. Go talk to him. Fast. G tensed. Is the ship in danger? The ship? No. Us? No. And the way you even ask that? Huojin looked skyward, shaking his head. I know he's a great name. I know you all think 13's old enough to walk into an arena and die, but right now he's wound up tighter than he was than when I met him on the Ba Sing Se docks, which makes me think that maybe, just maybe, his sister trying to kill him again might have been a bit much. To his credit, G winced. I'll inform the general. No offense, Huojin growled, but I thought we might try someone who hasn't got him convinced the important part of getting his ship blown up was Zhao walking off with his crew. Ships can be replaced, G said sternly. People can't. Shurong cleared his throat.
I take it this was the ship that blew up while he was still on it?
Yes, G nodded. I thought for months he was dead. General Iroh was very convincing. Where are you going?
To tell a young man he's at least as important as his crew.
Shurong shot back over his shoulder.
Tell the general whatever you'd like.
I didn't know. I wish I'd known. But Zuko had at least as much common sense and will to live as he'd thought. Because when Shurong got to the section of rail the young man had claimed, Zuko was still there. Even if the cold expression on his face had every sailor in sight, giving him as wide a berth as possible.
Which is a lot less room than I would have imagined, Shurong reflected,
watching sailors watch him settle his hands on the rail near the prince.
No wonder you're such private people.
Zuko twitched. Aha! That got his attention.
We're stacked on top of each other in Ba Sing Se, but there's always somewhere else to go.
Shurong went on, watching out of the corner of his eye as an infinitesimal bit of tension eased out of taut shoulders.
If you have an argument, or fall in love, or your heart is broken, you can always find somewhere else to go, someone else to talk to. And odds are you can tell them anything, because you've never seen them before and you'll never see them again.
Here? He waved a hand at the water.
Where else is there to go? Your privacy isn't walls and streets. It's silence and customs and formality. If you're doing what everyone expects, who knows what you're really thinking?
Kuzan would have adopted you, Zuko said half to himself. Which was so not what Shurong had expected, he had to blink.
What? No, that doesn't sound right. Why?
He had a knack for finding people who didn't fit, Zuko shrugged. Sometimes all they needed was a purpose, and those were the ones he usually left in place. Sometimes they wanted something different, and he'd get them to the colonies, or another part of the Earth Kingdom, or other places. And sometimes, he glanced down into white, rushing foam. Some things even healing fire can't fix. Ran only ever had one daughter, and she loved children.
If he'd found you before the Dai Li did, he'd have brought you home.
Earthbender,
Shurong pointed out, feeling the world decidedly askew.
I doubt I would have gone.
Zuko smiled grimly. What makes you think he would have asked? Shurong's eyes narrowed.
It's worse than Huojin thinks, if not why Huojin thinks. He would have. You would have.
Kuzan thought he was right most of the time, Zuko shot back. It got him killed. Something about the way Zuko tensed when he said that.
You remember that? Shurong asked.
Every second, Zuko said quietly. You'd think I could remember the good things. The Southern Air Temple, learning to bend with Uncle Kuroyama and Shidan, raising a daughter, raising granddaughters. He snorted. I should know better. Shurong frowned.
I was told you remembered him.
Like a washed-out painting, Zuko muttered. Like reading a court transcript instead of being there. I know what happened. I know why. I know he loved them all so much. Hands gripped the rail, white-knuckled. I know it all, but all I can feel is that night when Azulon finally decided to stop playing games. He swallowed. Aang thinks Kuzan never killed his people. How can I tell him he's wrong?
This is very bad. Tell me, Shurong said gently.
Gold eyes were shadowed. It was night, and it was raining.
I was wrong, Shurong reflected. It's worse.
And if he ever got his hands on whatever spirit or combination of spirits was responsible, well, someone deserved their heads cracked together.
You haven't spoken to your uncle about this.
I can't. The pain he'd expected, but not the desperation.
Why not? Shurong asked.
What do you know about Vendetta?
Enough to know you're all bloody-minded enough to be dragons. A man does not live under the same sky as his father's.
Shurong's voice trailed off. Oh, damn. Azulon had Kuzan assassinated, Zuko said bluntly. He was the Fire Lord. He had every right to charge a domain's lord with treason and conspiracy and have him executed. But he didn't. He never charged Kuzan with anything. He gave him no chance for an Agni Kai. None.
Which means it could be considered murder.
Shurong felt ice in his veins. I know it. You know it. Uncle knows it, Zuko bit out. But he doesn't have proof. I do. He took a breath. Azulon had Kuzan killed. Then 11 years later, he ordered Ozai to kill me to atone for insulting Iroh's loss of his own heir. Shurong felt faint.
Your grandfather.
And my mother killed him. With an effort, Shurong stepped away from his horror, trying to see where the ungodly mess of Fire Nation loyalties led.
Oh, damn.
Deception is an acceptable part of Vendetta, Zuko said, cold as winter. I bet you gold Uncle's wondering right now whether Kuzan saw the assassination coming, and if Byakko accepted the betrothal offer just to get her close to Azulon.
Did he?
Shurong asked, numbly fascinated. Zuko gave him a level look. I'm not going to hand you something Uncle wants to get out of you.
How kind,
Shurong said dryly. I can't talk to Uncle about this, Zuko said wearily. I just can't, because if I do, he'll be sure, and as long as he's not sure...
Your mother's safe,
Shurong finished.
Where is your mother?
A Fire Lord's killer. Spirits, where in the world would be safe for her? I don't know. Shurong winced at that pain.
But you think she's alive?
I don't know. Zuko shook his head. She woke me up in the middle of the night, told me she'd done it to protect me, and when I got up the next morning, she was gone, and no one would tell me anything. My father, he just smiled. His voice dropped. You've seen how Azula smiles. Arrogant, insane. I'm going to kill you, and you're going to scream every minute of it. Oh, yes. Amaya's your teacher. She's sharing quarters with Uncle. Ed was evidently not an option by that flat tone. I can't say I'm surprised, Sharong thought sadly. You have no idea how to deal with people who aren't hurting each other, do you? I know I need to sort all this out before I hurt someone, Zuko said faintly. And you know spirits, and you know how much my family's messed up, and you were the only one I could think of, because I'm not Kuzan. He drew a shaky breath. But I don't know how to tell Uncle that.
Because Kuzan was his father's spy and his father's enemy, and then his father's victim. Sharong nodded. And you almost were as well.
Yes.
And it's worse than that, because he's failed you twice, Sharong reflected. In Kuzan's life, by not throwing his support to someone, trying desperately to derail the Fire Nation's conquest, and in this life, by teaching you that you could never be a match for your sister.
I'm not. Zuko looked away. She's good, Sharong. She's the best. Kuzan was 97. He was a master, and he couldn't have taken her.
Are you sure?
Sharong cut across his denial. She never saw that hot sand coming. Zuko shook his head, still unwilling to look his way. Kuzan didn't know how to do that.
He didn't?
Sharong murmured, sensing a chance of victory nearing.
No, Zuko said quietly. He knew healing fire, and he knew enough airbenders to figure out you could use burning leaves to move a little wind. But no.
A faint shadow of a smile. I owe Toph a lot.
Well, there's one earthbender who's left a mark, Sharong thought, amused.
And relieved. Good. Toph is here and now, not in the past. If I can just nudge him a bit more that way.
So the blind bandit's as good as they say.
Better. And that was a smile, wry and tired as it might be. Benders move their element, but Toph, she moves and the world moves with her. Zuko shook his head. They say Omashu's king earns his throne because he's the strongest earthbender. If Bumi ever gets around to dying, I know who's going to get the job.
Guan Yin, have mercy. We actually have a human being here.
Sharong stifled a laugh.
And I thought Teruko was exaggerating. After all, a firebender thinking an earthbender was cute?
What? Zuko said warily. Is he?
He is.
Sharong bit back a delighted chuckle. It was just a little pink. But the prince was definitely not thinking about death at the moment.
I was just wondering how much information we might have on the Beifong family. Merchant contracts could be considerably helpful in pulling all of this off, and they might be much more than that for Lady Beifong and her allies.
We can set up a back door, Zuko said in a rush, letting go of the railing and paced, thinking hard. If they use what I gave Katara, they can get into the Fire Nation. And if they just keep their heads down. But they never do. They're always in trouble. And flying with Appa is just going to bring more of it. They're going to need a way to get out. Sharong watched and listened and sighed with relief.
Good. He's going to be busy. Did he just mutter something about genealogies?